Yeah, we're at Buffalo Wild Wings with a very special guest here tonight. One more Ravens tight end, now broadcaster, at least part-time. Number 88, Dennis Pitta is with us. Dennis, how are you?
What's up, Brett? How's it going?
It's going well. The Ravens have that miniature bye week, and I think that came at a really good time for the Ravens.
Yeah, I think it did, especially when you talk about your quarterback suffering a concussion, having to go through concussion protocol. It's always good to have extra time. They got 10 full days for him to be able to get through all that and hopefully be out there next Sunday.
Now, you're my Joe guy because you guys are really close friends, and I talked to you Friday, and I think everyone was legitimately concerned. And a lot of people told me on Friday, I'm really glad you had Dennis on, or because I was really concerned, and you did say that he was feeling better and things look okay. And then John Harbaugh, we'll hear from him coming up. He's fairly optimistic, it sounds like, he'll play on Sunday in Tennessee.
Yeah, so as a matter of fact, during last Thursday night's game, I was up in Joe's box. So I was sitting with all his family, his parents, his wife, and everybody. And when it happened, everybody was really concerned. And so we immediately got word, and he was fine. He suffered a mini concussion. His ear got cut up. And really, that was the extent of it. So he's in the concussion protocol. He'll have to go through that. But I've been hanging with him all weekend. He's in his right mind. I can definitely report that. He's okay. We were making fun of him because I don't know if you remember. I can't remember how many years back. It was maybe 4 years back or so. Justin Tucker kicked an onside kick in Pittsburgh and got obliterated.
I do remember this.
And his ear got all – he got concussed. His ear got all cut up. And so Friday after the game, we were making fun of Joe saying, "You got tuckered."
Oh, my God.
Because we kept making fun of Tucker because his ear was all bloody and messed up. He had a concussion, and Joe pretty much had the same thing.
So what does Joe say about the hit? I mean, it looked so bad. We all saw how Joe looked after the fact. Does he kind of explain what he saw coming, or does he remember it at all? I hate to even ask that.
Yeah, he remembers the play.
Okay.
He definitely does, and we've talked a little bit about it. He said, as a quarterback, you get out of the pocket and you start running. You're not used to necessarily running the ball all the time down the field, so you get a little bit of tunnel vision. And he was trying to get the first down, and it was Kiko Alonso who was flying in to come make the tackle. And you have to put your mind or your mindset kind of as a defender when you talk about these plays, because they see a quarterback running unprotected out of the pocket, they get wide-eyed, and they want to come up and they want to deliver a big hit, because you injure a quarterback, and that changes everything for the game and for that offense.
Which they did.
Which they did successfully. Now, I'm not saying that was his intent. As a matter of fact, he texted Joe the next day, which Joe told me about, and just apologized. That's not the type of player he is. We played against Kiko a few times and even practiced with him when he was in Philadelphia.
If it were Sue, we'd all say that fits the narrative. That
makes
sense.
Absolutely. That would be a different story.
I don't know. Maybe some guy would put your hands around someone else's neck in the middle of a football game. That kind of ever happens.
I don't know who he did that to.
But, yeah.
Joe, I think he'll admit he probably slid a little bit late. But at the same time, I think as a defender, Kiko Alonso was trying to make a big hit on him, and it ended up being kind of a bang bang play. But we'll see what the league does. It'll be interesting, because I don't necessarily put all the fault on the defender, but we'll see what happens.
Yeah, to me, I do have some. You have to take into account the markers there. It's in the red zone. That's a big play. The Dolphins are down 13-0. It does not justify the vicious nature of the hit. The fact that I thought Alonso was a little late, and the way he did it to me looked dirty. And I think everyone kind of acknowledges that it needed to be flagged. It was, whether or not he should be kicked out of a game, suspended for a future game, or fine. I'm sure he'll be fine. It's probably a toss if he gets suspended, but I do think that it was an illegal play. But I do take into account that was at that point, the Ravens were going down for essentially a game-ending score, the way the Dolphins were playing on a Thursday night. Yeah. And the Ravens were in total control, and the marker was there. Sadly, Joe was flying for Joe on that play. That's as good as he's run in a long time. And in general, he was playing a really good half, one of his best halves of the year, and it looked like there was something building there. So if Kiko Alonso has any lasting impact on the Ravens, it's the fact that the Ravens couldn't continue down that road with Joe under center for that game.
Yeah, like I said, it'll be interesting to see what the league does, because this is a quarterback-driven league. They've made a lot of rules to protect the quarterback. Obviously, that protection is gone when they leave the pocket and they're running downfield. And like you mentioned, Joe is moving on that play. He may not accelerate very quickly, but when he's at top speed, he's moving pretty fast. And Kiko Alonso, at the same time, was flying in to make a big tackle, stop him short of the first down. And so it was a vicious hit. I don't know if what the intent really was, and we could speculate if it was dirty or not all day. But I think the important thing is, you know, we'll see what the league does. I think they'll want to make an example of him a little bit because it's one of those things that they want to set a precedent across the league that these kind of hits are not acceptable, even if the quarterback's unprotected out of the pocket, because this is an entertainment business. And you talk about now you have Aaron Rodgers out. You have a lot of these top right. quarterbacks out. That's the worst thing that the league that could happen to the league right now, because these are the guys that put fans in the seats. These are the guys that get people to watch on television. So you have to be able to protect these quarterbacks, and I think they're going to want to send a message against hits like this.
My guess is multiple players on the Dolphins' defense will be at least fined, if not suspended for a game. Very interesting to see what happens with Sue. I mean, you cannot put your hands around another player's neck.
Yeah.
And especially when you have been a marked guy like Ndamukong has, and then I forget the name of the player who put his finger in the eyes of Austin Howard. That typically does not fly either. Those Dolphins, yeah, amazing. They were a 4-2 team that showed up to Baltimore. 410-467-WBAL. Brett Hollander alongside Dennis Pitta. We're at Buffalo Wild Wings and Always Mills. Come on by. We're here for the Best Seat in the House contest. We'll be drawing that at halftime of the Monday night game. We will get into this Ravens season. Can this team make a move? Also, questions for Dennis Pitta tonight. Whatever's on your mind about the Ravens and the trade deadlines tomorrow, if you could add one kind of piece, what would it be? Now, we'll get into the complexities of the trade deadline in the NFL, but if you could just add a piece, some names thrown out there today, including Larry Fitzgerald, among others, Eric Ebron, the tight end for Detroit's available, what interests you? 410-467-WBAL. We're coming back with more next.